Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 323, part 1, Time. Today is Friday, December 20th, 2013.
There must be some way out of here, said the joker to the thief. There's too much confusion, I can't get no relief. Businessmen, they drink my wine, plowmen dig my earth. None of them along the line know what any of it is worth. The thief, he kindly spoke. There are many here among us who feel that life is but a joke. But you and I, we've been through that, and this is not our fate. So let us not talk falsely now, the hour is getting late. Tower, princes kept the view, while all the women came and went, barefoot servants too. Outside in the distance, a wild cat did growl. Two riders were approaching, the wind began to howl.
Is entitled Time. In verses 45 through 47 of the 89th Psalm, we hear David's complaint. 45th verse then. The days of his youth hast thou shortened, thou hast covered him with shame. Now, David at this time had his energy was sort of running out. And during this period in his life, shame was heaped upon him. And so he was in sort of a low place. 46th verse. How long, Lord? How long will this affliction last? 47th verse, remember how short my time is. Hey, I don't have a whole lot of time. Life is slipping by, and I am afflicted, and I'm leaving my youth, and time is running out. How long will this affliction last? Remember how short my time is. And if so brief, do not make it altogether bitter, Lord. Wherefore hast thou made all men in vain? Two thoughts can destroy us, crush us. And one of them is that man was made to mourn, and that sort of disturbs us. And another one is that man was made in vain. I mean, what purpose? Why am I here? Why am I living? Song, you know. I mean, what's it all about, Elfie? The Falwells and the Bakers? The losers and the takers? The Rockefellers and the hobos? The stock market and the flesh market, the loved and the hated, the gray areas, the Gary Harts and the Snoop lenses, the beautiful and the ugly, the Oliver Norris and the non-committed, the caring and the I don't give a damns, the old and lonesome and the rich and yet not fulfilled, the married and the unmarried. Wherefore hast thou made all men in vain? Yes, this thought, I think, comes to all of us at some time in our lives. Made in vain. And as we view the past, don't you know, and all of its disappearing faces. Now, even in your young life, Jim, there are faces in your life that have disappeared. Here today and gone tomorrow. Kids you went to school with, you never see them again. Debbie, there's people out there, and so you start to wonder, and you see this one come and that one go, and some up and some down, and you say, what's it all about? Are we all made in vain? Wasted life and wasted minds. Some of your friends. The hungry food lines of the gray-faced, over 65 and under 65, but no jobs majority, let's say. We can't help but think, made in vain. Looking at the lines of people down there on Senior Citizens Day, all the faces that came through the food line, sort of forgive me for living type face, need to be brought about to the reality that time is wasted. Instead of waiting on time, waiting for time to pass and for this to pass and that to pass, why not live in the ever-present? Otherwise, you'll get that sort of a feeling. Is it all in vain? Well, you know, imagination that might adorn the truth, if that were possible. I mean, we live in a world where nothing is real, really. And nothing is fully realized, really. Well, it says we see dimly now. And so we're sort of dim-witted. We want to know all about everything, and God says you aren't going to know about everything. So we're always trying to figure a way out of something. Wasting time trying to figure a way out instead of looking towards a way in, an open door. When I realize how our lives are passed in the struggle for existence, just mere existing. We got in a conversation about that today. I mean, we're just existing. Well, isn't that something after all? To just exist. Think, if you never were, where would heaven be without you? But then you realize how our lives are passed, I said, in the struggle for a mere existence. Now, maybe you come in, you have a house that you're paying for, and you have your family to raise, and you're simply just existing. Are you hearing this word? Just existing. And you start to think, man, I'm just barely making it. I am just barely existing. How many have thought that way? Go to work and so on and so on and so on, and you say, man, I'm just barely making my bill. How many in here just barely make it? Take a look around. There's a whole lot of people just barely making it. And so you wonder about the whole thing, and oh, what a message we need right now on time is a-wasting. Oh, I can't do anything. I don't have any money. Time's a-wasting. Time's a-wasting. Oh, yeah, but I don't have a lot like this guy over here. He could do a lot. You can do a lot. When I realized the worry of it all, have you ever sit down to worry and think about the worry of it all? Man, you got to worry about making the rent, you got to worry about making the phone bill, worry about making the this and then that and the clothes and the this and the that, and the worry of it all. And when I realized how millions just live and work for sensual objects, what a stinking bore to just merely exist and work for sensual objects. Not that they aren't in some way important, but they aren't all important. Believe me. And you start to think and ponder, and you start to realize what a horrendous waste of time to live in that sensuality of merely existing for sensual things. And again, I say it isn't wrong. It's when they become our gods. It's when we start to worry about what we have and what we don't have and what they have and what I don't have and so on. And our attention gets diverted in another direction. Isn't that right? A total waste of time. Time is a wasting. Are you hearing this message? You on the radio, are you hearing it? You listening to the tape? And when I realized the Christless and the hopeless, the young unwanted, and the old unwanted. See, there's a lot of people that are old. They're unwanted. And yet, there are a lot of young people that are unwanted. And the to come yet unwanted. Those that aren't even here yet. And what do we have in common after all? Well, I'll tell you what we all have in common. Everybody sitting here. From the millionaire and the billionaire to the hobo, to the streetwalker, to the prostitute, the alcoholic, to the preacher, to whatever, people. We have one thing in common. We live and we die. And we have our time. This is my time allotted to me. I remember talking to someone years ago. They were getting into the movement. It was early in the charismatic movement. And they said, well, brother, by the way you're preaching, I don't think that you are teachable. Why, says the Bible says you're always learning, but you're never coming to know Jesus. So you can cram a whole lot of things and take a whole lot of time putting them in your mind. And then you lean upon your own understanding, and the Bible says don't do that. But every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And so, yeah. I can learn a lot, but I can know nothing. Better to be not born at all. It talks about it in Ecclesiastes. And to go on in that vain line. So we have living, dying, and our time in common. I think another good word for time or your life, I think, is trusteeship. T time entrusted to you. You each one of you here tonight have time entrusted to you. How are you using it? Now, in my course of my life, I think this. A person never sees life in the radiant glow, let's say, of its greatness, its dignity, its privilege. It's a privilege. Until he realizes it's as a trusteeship. Until you realize that your life has been entrusted to you and you have the ministry of trusteeship. You are on a time schedule. And you even bring your little ones up like that in your earthly bringing up, and just God does the same with us. You have a certain time they go to bed, and a certain time that you want them up, and a certain time that they brush their teeth, and you want them to spend that time to their advantage, and you want them to study. You want them to make their room up, and you want them to have order in their life. Now think about it. And yet, and so when it comes to our own lives, when we are entrusted with that time, and I think there's a lot of us that really don't believe God exists at all, or we would fully realize that we, and I should say that life itself is but the individual trusteeship of time. That's what it's all about. Isn't there a song like that? Time on my hands, you in my arms, nothing in sight, huh? Time on my hands, you in my arms, huh? See, man does not truly own even his own life. You don't belong to yourself. You belong to God. He has merely a life interest in it. I mean, sometime he must surrender it. Have you surrendered your time to God? That's what it all boils down to. And the only way you're ever going to be happy, the Bible says, is when you give your life and then you gain it. And it's the same way with your little ones. When they give their life to what they're supposed to be doing, then they gain. Friends, God is keeping account of how we spend this time entrusted to us. Think about that. You listening on the radio, think about that. God is keeping track of how we're spending our time. Is it in meetings and ever going to retreats and meetings and gatherings and luncheons and talking and always learning and never realizing there are other people involved in this old world? We have trusteeship, I said, of time, a talent. Don't bury your talent, your life, your time, your trusteeship. Well, you know, it could run out any time. You might be called to dig up your napkin any old time. And so how are you spending it? Wisely or foolishly? You know, time is really quite short. It's only one heartbeat away. I remember preaching one time and a guy dropped dead. No one expected him to die. So all of a sudden he died. That's it. Does it happen over there at the nursing home? Some of them take a little longer. God, it's so important that we recognize we're time machines, sometimes time bombs. What are you doing with your time? There's going to be an accounting. I believe it in the truest sense, man owns nothing absolutely. Can you absolutely say that you own a person? She's mine. He's mine. They are mine. My family. Can you honestly, absolutely say you own anything? No. It's my house. Is it? My job. Do you absolutely own that job? Sorry, we're closing. We're going to change the name. We're going to have a new, it's a brand new company now. Yeah, they bought us out. So the old agreement doesn't stand. Sorry. Bye-bye. Yeah, that's okay. You can get a job any place for $3.98 an hour. Whatever the minimum wage is. You own nothing absolutely. You know why? I know that. You can't do exactly what you want to with it. So you don't absolutely own it. This is my friend. Can you kill that friend? No. Can you burn that house down? No. Can you run that car into a pole? No. Well, it's paid for. No, there's accountability involved here. Because over all of our possession ever breathes the spirit of trusteeship. Timeship. Our time, our money, our health, our mind, our business, our worldly goods, our opportunities, our influence. All that we have, all that we are, we are all just trustees. You come into this world carrying nothing, and friend, you're going to go out carrying exactly the same thing you came in with. Nothing. You sighed your way in, and you're going to sigh your way out. And so we are stewards of time. And I think these possessions are all covered by the first mortgage of the rights of others. Everything that you do involves the rights of other people, whether you like it or not. We belong, in other words, to the needs of others. Well, isn't that what a steward is? Isn't that what God says? Where were you? The where were you whens? Isn't that what he's talking about? Where were you at 2 o'clock or 5 o'clock or 6 o'clock? Where were you that time? I was looking for you at that time. Where were you? And I was reading in Luke 24 and 21, and it said, "We trusted." And it just jumped right out at me. And I thought, isn't that sad that in that walk to Emmaus, the disciples had to say to Jesus, "We trusted." Wouldn't it have been nice if they would have said, "We still trust"? Instead of, "We trusted, look where it got us." Huh? Aren't there a lot of people saying that right now? "We trusted in God in the prosperity teachings, and now Wall Street fell down on us. What's God doing to me anyway, huh?" Isn't there a lot of trustees that are not trusting, that are walking away and falling down, frothing at the mouth because prosperity didn't continue on? They thought that's how they were supposed to spend their time. on schemes, and even the world picked up on. You can buy their tapes for $298 to $400 on how to be successful. Well, sell those tapes and you'll be successful, and you make $1 million selling them. I see the same guy on TV that was selling that real estate thing, and now he's into the fat process. Went broke on the other thing. Are you hearing this? I think that is so sad. Something that is all over. Oh, if only they would have said. Well, it looks bad. Everything is against our hope. It looks like our hope was in vain. I said, wait a minute. I said, it looks like, because we don't give up. A lot of times things can look bad. And let me tell you something, I know from experience. When it doesn't look like anything is happening, folks, everything is happening. You don't go by sight. I mean, what are you waiting for anyway, you listening on the radio? What is it that you want? You are in the trusteeship of the Lord Jesus Christ. What are you waiting for? You're entrusted with the needs of others. Wouldn't it have been beautiful? We don't give up. We believe we will see him again. But no, they walk by his side declaring their lost faith right next to God. And there's so many people that profess that they got a red telephone right to God. Hello, Lord. Yeah. This is your friend, Nick. Yeah, Nick the Greek. Yeah. Huh? Roll is his feet. Got to put a few nationalities in there, a wide range apart, because, well, you might offend somebody, you know. My God. And he had to say to them, oh, fools and slow of heart to believe. And yet, that's exactly what's happening right now. People are dying out.
Well, I guess it wasn't real. Oh, just after them.
They're walking right next to God. God's walking right on the sands of time with them, and they're walking right next to him. They even got books out, Running with Jesus. Are we not in the same danger of having these words said to us? O fools, and slow of heart to believe? I think we can afford to lose anything, I should say everything, if we do not lose faith in the God of truth and love. Lose it all, but don't lose faith. Jesus says, when I return, will there be faith found anywhere? You know what? I think it's close for his return, because there isn't a whole lot of faith out there. No, there isn't. And how will we know when we have lost faith in God, of the God of truth and love? Well, when we don't tell the truth. And when we don't love. How is it, he says, that you can praise me with your lips at these great big old high, 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 spiritual high praise meetings, and your hearts are far from me? Because see, I'm not there with you. I'm down there. I'm down there with the poor folks. I'm in Ethiopia. I'm with a widow. I'm with a guy in jail, and you're over here praising what? I'm nowhere around. They're going to go up so high, and then they're going to drop. How many are hearing this message? When self brings up all kinds of questions, then you know that your faith is dying. So never let us put our faith as the disciples did in the past tense. We trusted. Now look. Sold my fishing boat, I did. And now it looks like it's been all in vain. For what? It's been so depressing, so unrewarding. Take a look at your past life. Sum up the whole mess. And to sum up the whole thing, get a good look at it. Sit down, ponder it. Ponder it. Think about it. And then make a decision. Counsel with yourself. Think about it. But let's ever say, I am trusting. What else can you do? See, we have no ministry of trusteeship without trusting. Because trusteeship, don't you see, began way back in the dawn of history. It says when the earth was young and the first tenants moved in, Adam, well, he had a wonderful chance, didn't he? He owned the whole world except one tree. And from that tree, eat not. That is called the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Don't eat from it. And I thought, boy, this is great. He lived absolutely rent-free. With everything provided for him, without cost. And he had very little to do. And he was entrusted with three things. Himself, a garden, and a woman. And he failed in the administration of all three of those. And so we've been paying the price ever since. Because Adam ignored trusteeship, and Peter denied it. And then we could go on, and Pilate repudiated it, and all suffered. And so, across the pages, don't you see, of all of our lives, is written one word, trusteeship. You are entrusted with a certain amount of time. Now, I think the final test of men, I think of the ages, of all ages, is not what they had so much as what they did with it. What did you do with it? Did you ever have your folks come home and you were supposed to do something? And says, well, what'd you do all this time? I want you to cut the grass. When I come back, I'll be back. I want the grass mowed. I want you to rake up all the leaves and garbage over there. I want that put in the containers. You know how to do it. And they came home, and they trusted you with that time. Well, we got company coming from out of town. We want the yard to look nice and so on and so on and so on. And they come back and say, well, what in the world did you do with all that time? Ever put somebody, isn't it aggravating to put somebody on a job, and you get them on a job, and you come back and say, what have you been doing all this time? I trusted that you would have this job. Now, even in the natural now. I trusted you would have this job done. I know you bring your kids up like that, didn't you, Lish? Mick? And you had a job for them to do, and you entrusted them at that time, and they didn't get it done, and you just scratch your head. You say, what did you do all this time? Can you honestly tell me that you tried to get this job done? I mean, this amazes me. Mind-boggling. You've been here all day, and you I didn't have time, kids say that. But I didn't have time. Well, what'd you have to do? I had this to do and that to do, and I had to scratch my head and pick my ear. And it's the same way with God. You are entrusted with time, trusteeship, time, your life. What are you doing with your life? What are you doing with your time allotted here? Well, I didn't know.
I figured I'd live forever, and now it ran out. There's no oil in my lamp. Keep it burning. It's all gone. Can you borrow me some?
It all boils down to time, folks. There's a time to laugh and a time to cry. And there is a time to work. And there is a time to get busy. And there is a time to trust in the Lord like never before. This particular message needs to be preached, that people need to take a real good look at what they're doing with their time. Just like you want your little ones. Now, I have to put it in relation to the human element here so that we can understand it. What have you done with your time? The kid goes to school for years and years and years, and he's always getting F's. And the teacher asks, what do you do with your time?
Oh, I was watching the cars go by outside, and a fire engine went by. I like fire engines.
Well, you do, huh? Well, draw 1,000 of them and then write a sentence under each one of them or something. But do something with your time. Isn't that aggravating, Jim? To have somebody, say you have somebody helping you and you're over there picking up fruits and everything, you know, and they're standing there sort of just gabbing and talking. Oh, yeah! And they don't get the job done. And you come back and say, man, hey, we got to get going. What have you been doing all this time? Do you think God is going to ask the same question? Oh, yes, He is. Everybody's just waiting for that great big, judgment. Now, so many think they're going to walk right in there. And they're, no, well, what have you been doing with your time? Were you self-righteous in your preaching? That's a waste of time. Were you legalistic in your preaching? That's a waste of time. Were you causing division? Were you postulating? Okay, that's a waste of time. That had nothing to do with me. That you are none of mine. Depart. I don't even know you. You ever say that to your kids? You walk into PTA or something like that and they have been just miserable. And you want to pretend like you don't even know you. No, man. So you're the mother of that child. Huh. Well, come on over here. What does this kid do with his time all the time? Don't you keep track of what he's supposed to be doing? See, we have a time allotted to us. And you see, if we do a poor job in trusteeship, all of our excuses will not hold water.
But Lord, see, I know I was down here on the north side and stuff, but situations came about in my life where I just said, well, first things first, and so I split.
Then what'd you do with your time?
Well, I went down to Florida, retired. You know, didn't do nothing wrong.
Didn't do nothing right either. I didn't tell you to go to Florida and retire down there in Florida. What'd you do all the time you were down there?
Oh, I stayed healthy. I ran every day and exercised every day and ran on the beach and got all, you know, tan and nice and everything, you know, and stayed healthy and praised God every day. You probably heard me.
Oh, man, I don't even know you. Who are you? I remember having somebody, I put him on a job that seemed to resemble you somewhat. But no, I don't know you. No. You think about that. Preacher, you think about that. You think about the time that's waited and wasted on all the ignoramus schemes on keeping people happy. Keep them happy. Don't tell them the truth. Just keep them happy. Well, we're planning a big bowl-a-rama, and we're and the kids, and our kids, I know you're all going to like this. We're going to dip into the funds, and we're going to have bowling for everybody here. We want to have the best bowlers in the state. We'll have teams. Keep them happy. Don't tell them they have to do anything. Oh. Don't mention the word work. Oh, what a terrible word that is to some folks. Man, how they run when you say, let's do a little work. Well, I don't have time for that. What do you have time for? Laying up in the bed till noon? I asked one lady, I said, why don't you come up here? You can get groceries 9 times a month. Come on up on Emerson and Broadway, see, about 11:30, and you walk in straight-legged, walk out bow-legged. She says, I don't want to get up at 11:30. That's too early. Well, I said, you better get out of bed before it's time to go to bed again. I says, why don't you wrap a mattress around yourself and come up here, and come up here like a great big old hot dog. See, either you got to make them mad or you got to make them glad one way or another. There's got to be some way of getting people up off it so they can meet the needs of others. And don't always be looking at the millionaire. You with a quarter, you can do something too. See, all of your excuses won't hold water. Like, people hindered me. God, you know how they hindered me. I had no help. Your help comes from the Lord. I don't care what position you're in. God's going to ask every one of you, what did you do with your talents, your time, your life? And I think trusteeship is one of the great words of life because it enters us in. Don't you want to be in? Don't you want to be in trusteeship? Don't you want to be trusted by the Lord? Don't you want to enter in? Don't you want to be challenged? I think it gives us purpose. I think we can relate to others when we enter in. How can you relate to anybody if you don't enter in? Enter in.
There you have it. That was episode 323. That was part one to Time. Be sure to join us on Sunday for the conclusion. Have a great weekend. God bless you.
To England or France, you may like to gamble, you might like to dance, you may be the heavyweight champion of the world, you may be a socialite with a long string of pearls, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes indeed, you're gonna have to serve somebody. Well, it may be the devil, or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Maybe a rock and roll addict prancing on the stage, money, drugs at your command, women in a cage. You may be a businessman or some high degree thief. They may call you doctor, or they may call you chief. You're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you are. You're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
You may be a state trooper, it may be a young Turk, maybe the head of some bigger TV network. You may be rich or poor, you may be blind or lame, may
maybe living in another country under another name, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you are. You're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Maybe you're a construction worker working on a home. Might be living in a mansion. You might live in a dome. You may own guns and you may even own tanks. You may be somebody's landlord. You may even own banks. But you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
You may be a preacher, preacher, spiritual pride. Maybe a city councilman taking bribes on the side. Maybe working in a barber shop, you may know how to cut hair. And maybe somebody's mistress, maybe somebody's heir. But you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Wear cotton, might like to wear silk, might like to drink whiskey, might like to drink milk, might like to eat caviar, you might like to eat bread, maybe sleeping on the floor, sleeping in a king size bed, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, indeed, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Somebody.
You may call me Terry, or you may call me Timmy. You may call me Bobby, or you may call me Zimmy. You may call me RJ, you may call me Ray. You may call me anything, no matter what you say. You're still gonna have to serve somebody. To serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, and it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.